you just go right through your bookmark and there it is, right? But that's how we need to treat the scriptures, so that we're not always searching for in the scriptures, but we've got them bookmarked in our minds, or maybe you wrote them down. So when we need something, you know where to go, right? The scriptures, incidentally, like 66 books, like not everything is for Christine or for Chad or for Andy, but there is something there for each one of us. There is something there for each one of us. So we have to get our minds around the fact that the things that God has for me, I need to know, not all the other stuff for other people, right? Okay. So bookmark it. And you can just go to bookmark, and then you can just pick up on the piece right there because you know it. When it comes to interpreting the Bible, literal if possible, otherwise, as Mary mentioned, Revelation. I don't know Revelation. It's difficult. It's difficult. Some people study these things, but I'm not one of them. Read 1 Peter. We're coming to the meat of this thing now. Read it, 1 Peter. Peter is after Hebrews. After Hebrews we get James, and then we get Peter. And Peter wrote two books, and he wrote them to new believers, and they were scattered. Remember the scattering in the book of Acts? I think maybe the 8th chapter or something. Everybody scattered, and then there's that story about Philip going through a city in Samaria and healing people. And that has to do with that river of life. Philip had that. And yeah, there was a scattering, and then people were scattered to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, all those. And that's who Peter's writing to. New Christians, sort of like us. New believers, and like us. And so we're going to read here 1 Peter 3, verse 18 to 22. 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22. 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22. I'm reading 2 Peter. What's wrong with me? 1 Peter 3, 8. Okay. Christ died once for our sins. Once. Done deal. An innocent person died for those who are guilty. That's us. Done deal. Christ did this to bring you to God when his body was put to death and his spirit was made alive. You didn't come to God. God did this to bring you to him. Okay? You need to understand that. Christ then preached to the spirits that were being kept in prison. They had disobeyed God while Noah was building the boat, but God had been patient with them. 8 people went into that boat and were brought safely through the flood. Those flood waters were like baptism that now saves you. Here's that baptism thing again. But baptism is more than just washing your body. It means turning to God with a clear conscience because Jesus Christ was raised from death. Okay, that's why we have baptism, as a commemoration of that. Christ is now in heaven where he sits at the right side of God. All angels, authorities, and powers are under his control. And some of the leaders always take him into the dark corner over there and they pray over him. And somebody mentioned that. Well, I think it was Carl. Carl mentioned authorities and power and all that stuff. It's true, right here. You're praying the scriptures. All angels, authorities, and powers are under Christ's control now. That's good, right? Okay, now the second letter of Peter. The first letter of Peter is good, but the second letter of Peter is even better because it helps us even more so. Second letter of Peter to those same people. I'm assuming it's the same people. You wrote to probably the same people. Doesn't say. Chapter 1. Now we're getting to the meat of what I'm really trying to say to you. Okay. So from Simon Peter. Are we there? Simon Peter. And an apostle of Jesus Christ. To everyone who shares with us in the privilege of believing that our God and Savior Jesus will do what is just and fair. You know, that's good news. We know that God will deal with us fairly, okay? We may mess up, but God still deals with us fairly. We may not deal fairly with other people, God still deals with us fairly. Isn't that good news? Yeah. Okay. Okay, we have everything. Oh. I pray that God will help be kind to you and will let you live in perfect peace. Yeah. May you keep learning more and more about God and our Lord Jesus. Yeah, good. We have everything we need. Whoa, wait a minute. What are we always praying for about our needs when it says right here, we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God? It says so right there in black and white. What does your Bible say? What does that say? We have everything we need. His divine, that's the NIV, right, Rita? NIV. His divine power has given us everything we need. So that's, so we can apply our faith. Okay, it was all given to us by God's own power. It's all God. It's all God. It's not me 10%, God 90%. It's not me 1%, God 99%. It's not me 0.01%, God 0.099%. It's all God. Did you know that? Yeah, well, that's good. But maybe someone in this room didn't know that, so you need to be reminded of it. Good. When we learned that he had invited us to share in his wonderful goodness. That's how it works. God invited us and makes it work. God made great and marvelous promises that nature would become part of us, his nature. And then we could escape our evil desires and the corruptness of the world. Now do this. Do your best to improve. Now, do your best, page 2. I've only got 2 pages too, Mary, so you're in good ground here. Is your glass half empty? Or is your glass half full? Or are you drinking from your saucer because your cup's overflowing? Even though everything is not okay, is it still okay? Yeah, good. Now, I see this scripture when I first discovered this second letter of Peter's. I see this as a stairway. Because what is he saying here? Do your best to improve your faith, first of all, he says. You can do this by adding goodness. And that's a stair step, okay? And adding goodness, add understanding. That's a stair step, okay? Then you add a stair step of self-control. And then you add patience. And then you add devotion to God. And then you add concern for others. And when you've done those steps, you arrive at love. Remember that third chapter of Corinthians that is so often quoted, at particularly weddings, because people want to get the word love in there as often as possible, right? But with Corinthians chapter 13, the last line of that love thing, it says, and love never fails. You remember that part? Love never fails. And that's, again, a promise of God. Love does not fail. Love does not just try. Love does not just think about it and maybe put it to work on Tuesday. Love doesn't fail. And that's good news. And so Peter uses the same thing again, almost like Paul did. And he ends up with love. Now, back to that story about the computer, about how you can do things manually or bookmark. You can do this stairway thing. You can do that at home sometime. You can do it with Corinthians 13, and you can do it with the first chapter of 2 Peter. You can use that stairway to arrive at love. Or you can bookmark love and just go to love. Just go to love. Because love never fails. And if you put on love for your neighbor, for your wife, your husband, your children, your friends, that it doesn't fail. You don't have to worry about all those stairs walking every day. Oh, today I'm going to try understanding. No. Today I'm going to try self-control. No, just go right to love. Go right, bookmark that love and go right to love, and all these other things will fall into place. Is that good? Yeah, it's good. And listen to this. Verse 10 and 11. I didn't even get that from 10 and 11. My friends, I don't know if you have that, reader, but I've got it. Yeah, you do too. My friends, you must do, all you can to show that God has really chosen and selected you. That's the part we do. Has God really chosen and selected you? Do you really believe that God has chosen and selected you? There's no doubt in your mind. If you keep on doing this, you won't stumble and fall. Then our Lord and Savior will give you a glorious welcome into his kingdom and will last forever. That's why my friend could have the attitude of, no, it's not okay to have your kidney shut down, but it's okay. No, it's not okay to have marriages break up, but the end result is okay. It's okay because God is in control. You believe that? God is in control. Okay, so faith is the issue. It's the whole issue. Jesus said, trust in God, trust also in me. We can do that. We can do that. Okay, you can try living good if you want, but you won't succeed. Yeah, you may look better than the guy next door, but to God you won't succeed. And until you understand the sin issue your sin issue and my sin issue is totally dealt with at Calvary, peace won't come. It is not a question of knowing the Bible inside and out, although that's good, but you know the parts that apply to you. Until you get fed up with walking the Old Testament Jewish history between versus New Testament salvation for us Gentiles, if you get tired of walking that tightrope, you won't have peace because you'll always come up short. No peace. No. Jesus preached peace. Paul preached peace. Peter preached peace. James preached peace. They all preached peace. God's peace. Not as the world gives you, Jesus said. Not as the world gives you. My peace. God's peace I give you. A lasting peace. Okay. If no encounter with God through Holy Spirit, let me end with, it's been now 20 minutes, 22. Let me end with the story. What's that? Don't worry about the time. Are you Pentecostal too? Cool. Let me give you a story. 30 years ago, my wife and I had a business on Ross Street, and I was involved with the Chamber of Commerce, and the city of Red Deer Parking Commission. Parking Commission needed a member from the Chamber of Commerce to sit on that board, the Parking Commission board. They're the people who determine what to charge with the parking meters, and they're the people who determine where the meters go, and they're the people who determine what to do with the money and the commissionaires and all that. So you've seen them around town, you've seen the meters. Anyhow, I felt we were doing business downtown, trying to do business, and parking has always been an issue downtown. So I got it in my mind that we should get rid of the parking meters. And eventually the commission found fit to agree with me. And we actually got rid of the parking meters. Didn't last, but we got rid of the parking meters. But anyhow, what I want to tell you about this, I was on this commission, and once a year, if you're in government, employed by the government, they always send you to conferences. Anybody here work for the government, they send you to a conference? Yeah, they do that. I spent 16 years working for the county, so I went to a few conferences. Anyhow, at one of the meetings, the chairman, Alderman Dale, at that time, he announced that although the alderman usually goes to the conferences, they often keep these things for themselves. He said he couldn't go this time, so he wanted all of us, there was about seven of us, I think, wanted all of us to consider if we could go to that conference 2 months away. And I immediately felt in my spirit that I was going to that conference. So the next meeting, the next month, we have monthly meetings, the next meeting, Alderman Dale questioned everybody, can you go? I can't go. Can you go? No, I'm busy with this. Can you go? No, I'm busy. And I was last. And I knew, well, Alderman said, Len, looks like you're going. And in my spirit, I said, I know. Because I knew. You ever get that? God lays something on your mind or in your heart and in your something, and you just know something, right? And so I went. And that was my first encounter with God. I went to Thunder Bay, Ontario. Oh, who goes to Thunder Bay, Ontario, you know? Nothing against Thunder Bay, but see, there you go. Might even come from Thunder Bay. But I just knew that I had a divine appointment with God, and I did. I spent more time on the floor in prayer, crying and pleading, than I attended the meetings, but I didn't go to any lunches with anybody. I didn't go to any suppers with anybody. I don't know what they thought of me. I just had to be back in my room on my knees and on my face. And God laid things on my mind and on my heart that got me searching. That got me searching. And totally transformational. Is that right, Hill? Totally transformational? You knew it. Everybody knew it. And I started, and we used to go to full gospel meetings. Alan, you know about the full gospel meetings, yeah. We started going to them sometime later after that, a few years later. And every time you have I don't know if you're familiar with the Full Gospel Businessmen's Meeting. They have advances, and women have retreats, men have advances. You notice that ever? Yeah. You don't believe that, Elsie? Yeah. Women have retreats, men have advances. Men, yeah. Warriors, right? Anyhow, I started going through, and I just had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Just had to have it. Every time I went to a meeting, there would be an altar call for it, and I'd be up there. Nothing. And I'd be up there. Nothing. Sort of like Charlene, always kind of searching and not quite kind of getting it. But the day will come, Charlene, I promise you. How many people say the day will come? The day will come, yeah. But it's a personal thing between you and God. There's no committee involved there. I found the Holy Spirit and the whole schmear, right? And so that transformed my life. And that's about it. And so I wrote a little book. And then I've got this little book with me today. And if anybody's interested, then I wrote a little book about all this. And it may help you. If you've been struggling, because some people so often and so glibly say, well, you just need the Holy Spirit, right? You just need the Holy Spirit. And people pray for you. And people pray for you. And you know, and you're looking and you're searching, and if maybe you're like me, you've been searching for years to get that encounter with God. You need that encounter with God. Then a lot of stuff that you question, it falls into place. You understand. You understand it for you. You may not still be able to explain it, because some people have the gift of explaining and other people just have the gift of knowing. That's fine. But you'll know for you, in your knower, that you are right with God. No matter what happens, the sin issue is dealt with. I mean, that's a nice theological statement, but it is, you don't know it until you know it for you, right? So I'm inviting, we'll not have an altar call. We'll leave those things up to Stan. He does good at that kind of thing. But I will invite you to gather a book, and if they all go, I'll bring some more next week. I think I have another 5 or 10 or something. So if that'll help you, then it blesses you. If it blesses you, that's great. Then my job is done here for today. It's been half an hour. Is that plenty? Is that good? May the Lord bless and keep you. Yeah, okay. Well, next week, a young fellow earlier this morning said he came here to listen to Stan talk, and we had to disappoint him. But I don't know where he's sitting now, but you can come back. You can come back next week, and he won't be disappointed to hear Stan. Stan and Crystal, as you know, are holidaying in Iowa, I think, wherever Crystal's folks are. So let me leave you with a blessing, and maybe Cody has another song. May I leave you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you personally and give you his wonderful peace. Amen. God bless you all. You know what, we need to make this, yeah, that different. How's that?
Perfect.
Cool? Cool, okay, Chad.
You're going to like this one, ready? I'm river of life blown out yet? Come to take to the river. I'm going. You like playing that song?
Oh,